welcome to Sessionable. Our podcast thing. I'm just going to start that again. I'm a bit out of it, guys. Or does someone else want to do it?
All right, guys. Wait,
okay.
I can't do it.
Let's try again.
Sessionable.
All right, welcome to Sessionable. This week, we're going to be drinking and talking about some Asian beers. Because Adrian, you just had a bit of a holiday.
Yeah, I just recently came back from Philippines and Korea, South Korea, that is, and checked out their beer scenes. And drank some good beers, drank some pretty shit beers as well. One of which we're starting off with. I think shit beer is very appropriate in this case.
Yeah. So what are we drinking?
We're drinking the Red Horse beer by San Miguel. It's pretty much like a beefed up San Miguel. It's 6.9%.
6.9.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all I drank when I went on holidays in the Philippines.
So when I was having it, I was like, this tastes the same as San Miguel, but it's just 6.9%, so it's going to get you drunker. And it says ingredients: water, malt. Contains any of the following: cereal, sugar, starch, hops.
Well, I'm glad it contains any of them.
Yeah.
Did they miss out on the hops this week, or?
It's as we alluded to, it smells like shit.
I don't think shit's the right
word. You know, like open sewer.
Yeah.
Open sewer.
Hints of
uric acid and
but you know what they say about Asian beers, they all taste the same. Lol.
Definitely not. I hope if this is the first one.
No, I think like a lot of the Asian lagers do taste
very similar.
Kind of similar. I mean, I think this one's obviously off because I've never had it this bad before, but yeah, they're all kind of bland and designed to get you drunk. Yeah, and I guess
6.9%,
like also,
that's exactly what
I guess it also is appropriate for the weather as well, because it's usually really hot there. I mean,
yeah, it's a bit light. It's drinking.
It was about 40 degrees and 99% humidity when I was there, so this was fine.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess probably the last year or so, I think I've been seeing a lot of articles and stories about the whole Asian craft beer scene, and that's starting to take off. And places like a couple of cities in China, I think Manila as well, Seoul are being sort of epicenters of this real push for craft beer. Yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, when you said you were going over, we thought it would be the best way to sort of touch on the subject. But,
yeah, I mean, I think I definitely saw that it was reminiscent of when, you know, Australia was starting off with Little Creatures and Squires and that. And I mean, they're going about it in different ways, but it's pretty promising for the future.
Because the first thing I think of when I think, you know, Asian craft beer would be the Japanese breweries.
Yeah.
So Hitachino, Baird, Koido.
Yeah.
That's what we've had the most access
exactly,
to over here.
Yeah.
And I think they're ahead of the curve in terms of that region. But
I think Japan has much more of a history of producing quality alcohol.
Yeah.
So I guess makes sense for where that to start. If you look at, like, the Japanese sake, which we've touched on before, even Japanese whiskies, it has a very, like, they're very highly regarded and very well made. So I think it makes sense for that sort of to be a launching pad for Asia when it comes to craft beers. But yeah.
Yeah, so I was in the Philippines about a couple of years ago, and they had just started getting in, you know, craft beers from the US, probably grey, to be honest, but they claimed it wasn't. They claimed it wasn't grey, but it's probably grey. And there was also this kind of small craft brewer scene where it was mostly home brewers just putting their stuff out into this one bottle shop in Manila called The Bottle Shop, creatively enough.
And it's definitely for Manila, that seems to be the epicenter of...
Well, at the moment, anyway. Yeah. But some of the brewers are based in the islands, the smaller islands, and they're brewing, like, more kind of sessionable stuff, and I think the Manila people are kind of getting into the weirder type beers. I'm not sure where this next one is from.
Oh, actually, I can tell you that.
Manila or not.
It's not Manila.
The label is not very...
informative.
Informative.
I'm actually really excited to try the next one.
But yeah, it's cool that...
From Ligan City? I don't know how you pronounce that.
I probably won't know Ligan. Either, but...
It's under the photo.
It's under the photo. I think it's Iligan.
Iligan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's an art. Is that... I don't know where that is.
Yeah, so I think it's just not very regulated in the Philippines, so homebrewers can just
sell
use,
their stuff.
Yeah, use bottles and put their stuff in it and sell it. And I think that's a pretty cool kind of enabler for the scene to get started.
Yeah, I think you're going to develop a pretty mean culture when you don't have all these fucking governments stifling every single thing you try to do. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
Should we just slam these down and we'll get on to the next beer? Because this is pretty terrible.
Alright, here's to Sessionable True Blue.
This is going to make my hangover feel even greater.
Tell you what, this knocks you out because...
Actually, when you skull, it's not too bad.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I've been having it from a can and haven't really been smelling it.
That's actually quite enjoyable with the skull. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have probably had it in the can, hey?
Yeah. So this next beer is one of the few different craft brewers that I came across. It was interesting, actually. I went to the bottle shop, and as I was drinking, there was this guy having like business meetings.
So you can drink there?
Yeah. It's like slow beer, mm-hmm. and I was drinking, and this guy behind me was having business meetings, and like he was starting a brewery, and he was telling everyone about craft beer and everything, and everyone's getting excited, and it was like, yeah, that's cool. Like nobody really knows anything, and you know,
yeah,
the sky's the limit at the moment.
It does feel like it's got that bit of like a Wild Wild West sort of a
yeah,
sort of anything goes.
Yeah, like Australia a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even Australia right now, I think. We're still kind of going through that growth.
So, I mean, phase. Philippine culture's always had quite a bit of, like, American influence. Is that coming through with the beers as well, you think? Or?
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason why craft beers have become known in the Philippines is because expats have been kind of looking for good beer. And this guy that started the bottle shop, he's a Filipino guy who did a lot of work. Did a lot of work in the US and... He got home and all the beer was shit, so
yeah.
He started importing stuff.
All right. That's an interesting smell.
Mm.
So we've got our second beer.
Have we said what it is yet?
No, not yet. So it's the Fat Paulie Kalayan. I'm gonna butcher this.
I think that just might be the.
Some, okay, but it's a sour ale. And it's a limited release for the 2014 Independence Day. And that's pretty much all it says on the bottle.
I think it might be Kalayaan, maybe.
That sounds more like it.
Yeah, no, I'm the worst person to.
That's alright. It's a pretty weird way to pronounce things if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah. So this is a sour ale from the Philippines, which
it's definitely funky.
Yeah, it's
but not in any kind of
sour way.
Yeah, well, not in any way that I've smelled before. I wonder, like, if it's spontaneously fermented or anything, or if they've just added anything to it.
Producer just said that he's getting a lot of dried apricot, but there's...
Yeah, I get a bit of that.
Yeah, but there's some sort of that, like, rubbery... Like, you know, clown shoes, some of those beers get that real, like, rubbery tire sort of a smell.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There is, like, it's, like, really pungent and, like... But there's underneath it. There's a slight hit of acidity and sweetness, but
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that one.
I don't mind it too much, but I'm a bit biased.
It's definitely sour.
Has that bit of sourness to it, yeah.
I don't know, there's something that I like about it, but it's that whole rubbery thing's very upfront on the palate as well as the nose, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so there were a few different brands that I came across at this bottle shop, and these guys were by far doing the most interesting styles. I had a rye ginger ale there. The other bottle I brought back is a scotch ale with milk sugars. So it's like a lactose scotch ale.
Okay, right. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had a bunch of other stuff. I think their most regular sounding one was a really hoppy pale ale. So.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alright, so maybe we should discuss some other kind of Asian beers that we've had and we've really enjoyed, or even like Asian inspired ones.
I think like when you say like Asian beers in Australia, or craft beers in Australia, you're probably thinking Baird or Hitachino.
Yeah, I think Hitachino, you know, the espresso stout, the white ale.
I think the cedar, was it the cedar pale ale or whatever it was? It's like one of their beers that they aged in cedar casks.
Okay.
That was one of the most interesting and tasty beers that I've had from Asia.
I think the Macan ale, when it's tasting good from Baird's, pretty awesome.
Which one was that?
The Macan ale.
Yeah, the Carpenters. The
Carpenters, the one's got the Macan fruit. It's like a...
I don't remember
that. It's
like
that a mandarin
one.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that one. I'm sure I've had it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I've had one from Boxing Cat in Shanghai. It was a collab.
It was a collab one, wasn't it?
With a Welsh brewery, yeah. I think. With Celt. I think it was with Celt.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And I remember that being, you know, really tasty. Mikkel has done a few collabs with Boxing Cat, I think.
Are they like the only Chinese craft brewer, or...?
I think they're becoming
the big one. The big one.
Like
I think
they're the
big one in Shanghai. Yeah. I think there's a few little ones. I think
the one that's getting like the international recognition.
Yeah.
Because I think Hong Kong's got a few little brew pubs. Because that's got a significant American expat population as well. So
I think, just doing a bit of reading, a few places in Guangzhou. My Asian pronunciation is awful today.
I don't know how to pronounce anything Chinese. So.
But yeah, just found an article about some American dudes that did a tour over there. And there seems to be quite a few craft beer bars over there. I've met here in Sydney a couple of months ago some English guys who run a craft beer pub in Shanghai.
It's not their Brewdog bar, is it?
No. That would be funny.
That would be so. Yeah, that was very funny.
You'd so go there though, wouldn't you? So I think what we're alluding to is the fact that in typical Chinese fashion, someone did a knockoff Brewdog bar that was like designed exactly like.
We'll put a link to it in the.
Yeah, it was designed exactly like Brewdog bars do. It looked exactly the same. Yeah,
you know why
their signature tap beer was a 6 a.m. Saint. Jokes.
Yeah, so Brewdog wrote a letter to the fake Brewdog China. It looks funny. What else? So yeah, some Asian beers and Asian inspired ones. So I was thinking because we'll talk a bit about the Ale of a Time podcast later in this episode.
Yep,
but they recently drank a Yuzu Lambic.
Yeah,
that sounded really cool.
Yeah, which is I think it's a Japanese brewer living in Belgium, is what my understanding
was. I thought it was a Belgian brewer living in Japan.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was one of each and they met each other halfway and brewed
OWA, OWA, I think is the Yeah, they're based in Belgium.
Oh, okay, cool.
So,
clearly I don't pay attention to the podcast too.
Which sounded incredible. I was quite jealous.
That Nugner Red Horizon.
Yeah, which we've had on the podcast.
Yeah,
before.
That was incredible.
That was the, so that's a sake yeast.
Yeah.
Because Nurgna does a lot of sake.
They do. Have you ever seen any of them look like sakis?
Not in Australia, no.
Be keen to try.
Yeah, same.
I was really a fan of the Hitachino red rice ale as well. That was quite unique.
Mm-hmm. The milk stout.
The milk stout, which was off last time I had it. Oh. In a good way.
What else? I can think of any other countries.
A bunch of stuff with like sriracha in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably cheating a bit, but
I'm still not convinced on sriracha.
We forgot the best one, Singha Stout from Sri Lanka.
Oh yeah, Singha Stout. Yeah, I'm a fan of that. Sick. We should pick some of that up.
Yeah.
That is a sick beer. That's a really really nice stout.
Actually, speaking of that area, I think there are some Indian craft brewers starting up.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about them, but I really would not be surprised at all.
Because one of my friends lives in India, and she said she noticed like a bunch of craft brewers starting to pop up.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah.
If I'm ever there, I'm not sure if I'll survive because of all the curry, but yeah.
Train, man. You should
train
for it.
I think you'll see most countries starting to come up with craft breweries and bars.
Yeah.
As this kind of movement spreads around the world, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
I think,
and I think it is a good sign that a lot of the, I guess, countries that you wouldn't expect craft beers in are getting these.
Yeah,
in.
Especially India, which you know, like, inspired the most popular craft beer style.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Oh, there's the other ones. The other Japanese ones that come in cans. Yeah. Ioni or
oh yeah yeah the so the Yoho
yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the
Yona. Yoho Diablo
is it Yona
or I can't remember
yeah oh what's the one of that
they do like a sake spiked beer as well. This is pretty hectic.
Yeah, so they do a bunch of I think it's Yoho Brewing.
Yeah,
and they do a bunch of cans.
Yeah,
so the Yona Ale, they do one called Tokyo Black, which is actually, you know, comes in a can, really nice porter.
Yeah.
You can find that around Sydney occasionally. Ioni IPA, which is, you know, I actually really think that's a nice IPA. Yeah.
And I just found another one I forgot. I think it was before your time, but when I used to manage the Pump House, we had Archipelago beers from...
Okay. Yeah, I think that was before me.
From Singapore. I remember they had one that had like, it was like Cafe Limes like pale ale, which is awesome.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I remember we found that because there's a Pump House bar in Singapore, and that's like the brew pub that's attached to them. So
you got it in.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is there a Pump House in Singapore?
Yep, there's a Pump House in Singapore.
Cool.
Yeah. And their beers are.
Do they have like 10 kgs of gunpowder at any one time?
No, it's like a
it's green
a Chinese
tea.
Craft brew that has puya tea in it.
Yeah. Would that work? Do you reckon?
It's fermented tea leaves.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, how would that?
Anyway, so after I went to the Philippines,
yeah.
I went to South Korea for a week.
Okay, cool.
And
which also I've been reading has a bit of a scene.
Yeah, so they're kind of I think for like the past couple of years they've had some craft brewers pop up, mostly based in the Itaewon, which is the foreigner kind of hangout area of Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to two there called one was Craftworks. And they're kind of like a kind of classic American, I guess, eatery.
I thought you were going to say like German techno.
But... German techno, yeah. Kraftwerks. Yeah. No, Kraftwerks with a C.
Yeah.
And I was actually, I liked their IPA and their smoky dark ale, but I was also a bit disappointed. That three of their beers were like 4.5% kind of bland, they're pretty much all the same kind of beers.
They all taste the same.
Yeah. They all taste the same. Yeah. So I was like, you know, you should kind of do something different. But then I also checked out Magpie, which is like a small place near where Craftworks is, and it was just pretty much a hole in the wall that served two beers on tap.
Okay,
so that was pretty cool.
That was good. Yeah,
it was all right. Yeah, I had like their parallel. But yeah, I found out that most of the brewers, or most of the craft brewers in South Korea use the same contract brewer.
All right.
Because it's called Car Brew. So, everyone used to brew there until...
So they literally do all taste the same because they're all brewed at the same place? Or?
Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of speculation on whether they are all different beers or not. Definitely the beers that I had in Craftworks were different, but like the other places, you know, the other craft brewers are popping up, they might just be getting
the same and
the same kegs. And
well, I mean, that does happen here, but you get like some of these hotel groups and stuff. I have that have like their own beer, but basically someone like Monty's or something like that will give them beer that they allow them to rebrand.
So it'll be the ex hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pilsner, and it'll be the same as...
I mean, like, I think Oscar's group have the Oscar's Lager, or the Rose and Chippendale, they have...
Yeah, they've got the and that's Monteith brew.
I think it's all Monteith's, But yeah, it's all the same beer, but it's...
Yeah. And I think the reason for that was that until the start of this year, if you had a microbrewery, you had to serve straight from the tank. You couldn't put in the keg or a bottle or anything like that. So you're kind of limited into what you could do.
Okay.
So all the craft brewers just contracted out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trade-off with that is that they didn't really have as much control over it.
Of course.
And so when I went to Busan and I ran across this other craft brewery called Galmegi, they had just opened their own facility just after the laws were passed.
Mm-hmm.
They used to run a brew pub, and they used to brew at Car Brew as well. But after the laws passed, they opened a microbrewery and tap room.
Okay.
Like a block away from the original pub.
Right.
And yeah, they keg, and they're looking into bottling eventually as well. And
cool.
They were doing some really interesting stuff. So one of their beers, I had the tasting flight there, and the first one was a blonde ale, like 4.something% blonde ale, and I was like, oh crap, it's another one of these.
Mm.
And then I smelled it, and it was like hop fest in your nose, and it was like, nice. Sweet, this is going to be good.
I love those ones that you're not expecting anything, and then you just get.
It's so hoppy that when you smell it, you can taste hops.
Yeah. It's like, yes, this is incredible.
So I was talking to the publican / owner of the brewery, and it's a Canadian guy who lives in Busan now, and he just started brewing at home because like it was kind of that's what you had to do over there because
you couldn't get beer.
Yeah, all you could get was like height and Cass and all that, which
is like if I had to drink that, I'd be learning how to brew beer as well, I guess.
Yeah, especially like for an
American
Canadian living there.
Yeah, sorry,
North American. It's all
I'd still have to apologize.
So yeah, now that
sorry,
now that he has his own facility and has more control over the process, he's just like coming out with more interesting stuff. That was really promising. Like I thought it was promising enough going to Seoul and seeing all these places doing craft beer, but seeing that kind of passion and the kind
who's
of
drinking
experimentation.
The beers?
In Busan,
majority expats or tourists.
Well,
or?
Surprisingly, apparently, it's been really good with the locals. Like they've just been
that's fantastic
doing tasting paddles and loving it.
Good.
Coming back for the IPA, and there are like a fair few expats as well, obviously. But it seemed like the expats were regulars at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But most of their business, I think, is still the locals.
Yeah.
Which
awesome.
Is good.
Yeah,
it's
really
funny how the US can actually have good influences on the rest of the world sometimes.
All right, so we're on to our third and final of the Asian beers today. This is one I've had before, the Baird Angry Brown Ale. Angry Boy?
Angry Boy.
Yep. Angry Boy Brown Ale.
Yeah.
I love the designs of their labels, Baird. that kind of. I think they have an artist who does woodcuts. Woodcuts, is it? Or
it's so, like the wood version of stenciling, where you like
you carve it out
and then wood, and then you paint it, and then stamp it.
Yeah,
yeah. There's an actual name for it, but
yeah. So the description on Untappd from the brewery about this beer is: beneath the cool facade of the warrior, a red hot flame of intensity, determination, and yes, anger burns. So it is with this unpredictable brown ale. Fleeting multi-sweetness and warmth hide complexity, a barely controlled bitterness, and, naturally, a bit of an angry edge. Mm. I think we should do dramatic readings of beer descriptions more often.
We need like a Shakespearean
actor.
Acting!
Yeah. Yeah. I'll call Hugo Weaving.
But I do really like this brown ale.
Yeah.
That's just a solid brown ale for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really quite light coloured brown compared to.
It's got that kind of that robust flavour. Yeah. I find that toasty.
Yeah, that that sort of like malt caramel.
Yeah.
I think last time I had this was side by side with Angry Man Brown Ale from
Murray's.
From Murray's.
So you had the Angry Boy and the Angry Man.
Yeah.
Did it separate the boys from the men?
Well, I think the man was like more aggressive.
So angrier.
Yeah, angrier. it had more bitterness to it. I think this one's more balanced.
It's a little bit creamier.
Yeah.
It's a bit creamier.
They're good for their own reasons. I'm kind of gravitating towards multi-year beers these days, so I'm really enjoying this.
This is good, yeah.
And before we recorded the episode, we had the Cavalier Brown Ale, and that was fucking awesome.
That was tasting so good. Great, yeah. Do we have much more to say?
Well, I was going to actually say that this is yet another bunch of Americans or North Americans moving to Asia and starting.
In fact, I think on our interview with Doc, didn't he talk about Baird a bit? Didn't he? He spoke to the brewer to his inspiration about the wasabi beer because they do a wasabi green tea.
He got
tea.
Some advice on using wasabi. Yeah,
because I think Doc mentioned he's friends with the brewer at Baird.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and so I really like the stuff they do. So I think you do see that a lot, expats starting up the breweries, because I think Boxing Cat was as well in Shanghai.
Well, I mean, due to world history and stuff like that, Asia does have a very big American influence due to World War II, and, you know, it's funny how we're seeing all these places like the Philippines, Singapore... You know, these Japan are all places that were very heavily influenced by
the U.S.
during the last century.
Really.
Yeah.
I will add a side note to the Korea bit, is that apparently that there are a few German brewers in Korea as well. They have their own brewery.
They start. They do their own brewery house.
German style beers. So, yeah, I guess like you know, people just want to drink what they're used to and. That's how these craft beer scenes get started.
Yeah, I think actually...
I mean, if any one of us moved overseas...
Yeah.
What the first thing we would do is source out where we're getting our fucking booze from,
right?
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Because I think there's actually a funny story I read... it was about a year ago, where Kim Jong-un actually requested Paulana to open up a beer garden in North Korea.
Yeah. Awkward.
And they said no.
Okay. Like,
so... so I think that, because I think there's quite a few of that, a few of those kind of beer gardens in South Korea, and I think Kim Jong-un just wanted some of that sweet, sweet Bavarian beer action. Right.
And Incheon Airport, they have Oettinger Bar in the airport.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I didn't fly out of there. I flew out of Busan, so I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of breakfast beers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, so we might take a break.
Are we doing breaks now?
Well, because this is what this episode is going to be kind of like. There's a second part of this episode, which isn't really following this theme. So I thought if we take a break, we've got some interstitial music now, don't we?
Yeah.
So we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about our ongoing kind of back and forth with Ale of a Time, answer our question that we've posed to them, and then. Answer their question they posed to us. So, cool. See you in a few seconds.
Sessionable.
Okay, so thanks Toehider for our theme music. Oh no, we haven't done that yet. We're gonna ask them to make some.
Dun 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 dun.
But just more metal. Got it in black.
It's like, look, we need one thing. We need our thing, our song to be more metal than
You know what we need? We need like Metalocalypse to do our. We get Death Clock to do our theme music.
Can we get like Dr. Dre? I think his price point is like $3 billion at the moment.
We can afford that, right? Yeah.
Or is it just a set of headphones? Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. You'll just give us headphones.
I think we've got to go through Tim Cook for that now, though, right?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
All right.
Let's
that was a weird little.
Let's answer this.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let's answer our question.
Yeah. So we asked. We were a bit confused about what we were asking.
Let's answer the first part of our question.
Yeah. We had.
What's the question?
We had two questions. I think we were all a bit drunk.
We were definitely a bit drunk.
We'd just done an episode about what is craft beer, so I think our minds were a bit frayed. And I think the idea was for whoever edited the last episode to cut out my shitty first question
and
the second one.
It was my fault.
So that whole thing about which one would you move to the States, terrible question. Let's pretend that never happened. But I think the more interesting one was, who would you give a lot of money to? Who would you invest in? Yeah.
So, Tom?
Look.
All right, Liam?
I'm going to start a brewery next to Riverside. The side of Riverside.
Yeah. Riverside side.
Yeah.
What Aussie brewery would you...
River,
and
it's going to be even more river than Riverside. But
well, who would you invest in? What existing brewery would you pump your money into? That's what we asked them. Yeah, James Squires. Yeah.
No, they don't have enough money at the moment. No. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard question. I'll have an answer, but it's going to tie into what...
What we're about to go into?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think so is... I mean, mine...
But, okay, so mine, if to be honest, I'd want to give some money to Shenanigans. Because... Yeah. And the reason is, coming into our next part, is I like the fact that they're not... They're creating beer styles instead of brewing beer styles.
Yeah, I like
that. And that's something different, and no one else is doing that. And they're doing things that are slightly similar but slightly different and really interesting. And I think they're really, in a world where everything's already been done, they're doing something new. And that's who I would give my money to.
Yeah, cool. I think we alluded to the fact that it's not really a secret who I would probably choose. And I've... talked about why before probably enough, so
we'll just skip that.
And Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be following the same rationale as Liam, and actually I can't believe it, because I'm wearing a Shenanigans shirt and you said Shenanigans, but I didn't even think of saying that. and they're good friends of mine, so I kind of feel bad. But I would put it in, like, put my money into Doctor's Orders for the same reason.
Yeah,
and I guess like I could do it for Shenanigans or Moondog or anyone else or Bacchus brewing crazy shit, because it's just interesting and there's a kind of beer that I'm after, just different stuff.
Yeah,
and I think to answer, I mean, let's go on to their question, which was.
So they asked us, if you were to start a brewery, what would you do to kind of stand out? What would your brewery be like? So let's play Build a Brewery.
I suspect that my answer is going to be the same as Liam's. And
yeah.
I would brew interesting stuff, stuff that you won't see anywhere else in the market. Because that's my...
I think in the last couple of years, we're seeing a lot of trends. And I'm going to word this carefully, because these trends and styles are... generally styles that I've always liked, like rye IPAs or hoppy ambers, which, I've said a million times.
So rye IPAs, red IPAs, black
exactly.
IPAs.
American Browns is now becoming,
Session IPAs.
Session IPAs.
Well, don't get me started.
nothing against the breweries that brew those beers, but you tend to sometimes see the same breweries all brewing the same beer at once.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're brewing styles of beers that I really liked and have liked before, so I'm not complaining too much, but if I was going to start a brewery, that's not what I would... You know, sometimes there's people who are following the trend and people who are creating the trend.
Yeah.
And...
You'd want to be more of a trendsetter than a
trend
follower.
Yeah, and that's why I think Shenanigans have a really good model, because they're not, say, as extreme as Moondog or Doctor's Orders or something like that, but they're definitely creating something new and creating their own styles. But like anything, drawing heavily off your influences and creating something new out of that, but still being able to reference where your influences come from, and I think that's pretty cool.
I think if, for me, I've thought about this a bit and never came to a conclusion, because there's so many different routes you can go to be a good brewery, you know.
You have to pick one, Tom.
I'm getting there, all right? So I think the idea, at least in my head at the moment, if I was to start a brewery, I'd probably have quite like a core range, probably two or three beers that we would probably consider a bit boring. Because I don't think Australia is 100% at that point where everything you do is out there. But having said that, something like Shenanigans Grisette, or like Doctor's Orders, Zephyr or something, you know, those are very approachable beers that we don't find boring. So probably try to be closer to that than like, so maybe even go kind of that.
Yeah, you don't
it's
have
kind
to
of like a halfway.
Yeah,
it point.
Doesn't have to. Bo- yeah, yeah, something
it doesn't have to be a summer ale or golden ale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But do something like so probably have a model where like you have two core beers, like a White Rabbit style, like white and dark. You know, they're your core beers, and then but that would just kind of be for the general market, and then doing all the interesting stuff on the side as well. And because my expertise isn't necessarily with making the beer, it's more with, you know,
drinking it.
And selling. You know, I think I'd go for a, like, try to have a very strong design and marketing theme throughout all of it, because I do think that is, and they talked about this on the last episode of Ale of Time, the one with Chris from Slow Beer, is the fact that as much as it shouldn't, the marketing does matter. Labels do matter. Yeah. Like, there are some really bad, you know, design efforts put in by Australian craft breweries, whereas you look at like New Zealand and the States, and they have some incredible design, some shitty design as well. But like New Zealand, especially, almost everything I can think of just has incredible, like sharp.
Most of them.
Yeah. There's probably a few.
Then you got like Shane Warne beer or whatever.
But even then, Moa, like as much as we don't like them, they have a very strong
brand.
Design aesthetic, very strong brand, and. The beer comes first, but you can't forget the brand. The brand is, you know, important.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't like this whole... I'll take this two parts. Like, I haven't listened to all of the episode with Chris from Slow Beer, so I haven't got up to that point yet. But when they had the question about, you know, what would you do to your brewery? What's your gimmick, almost? And he's like, do you have to have a gimmick? Why can't you just fucking brew good beer?
Yeah.
But it's on the other side of it. Like, I run a bottle shop. When people bring me products, the first thing I do is I look at it and...
It's got a gimmick. I can sell that. Like,
not necessarily, but like, not so much with beers, but more with wines. Like, sometimes you can have some amazing wine, but you look at the label, like, no one's going to fucking pick that up.
Yeah.
And I think beer is a lot more ahead of the game, the design aspect-wise, than wine is. Like, some of the wine guys at work... like, you know, they just love looking at... They have no interest in drinking beers, but they absolutely love the whole design of the beers. And this, like, these labels are amazing. Like, how can you do that? And, you know... so I think... What I'm trying to say is I hate the fact that that has to be part of your model, but it has to be.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's...
You need to have some Smith packaging.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be, like... It wouldn't be... You know, I would design the packaging around the beer, not the other way around. It, you know, like... Because there are some people that are the other way around.
You create an image and then you
try and
brew a beer
that you can fit into that image.
But you have to definitely try
to be the other way around.
You have to have an image.
Yeah, but you come up with the recipes first and then
create
your image off the beer you've got. And that's how I'd see myself doing it. That's, you know... And definitely, I 100% agree with you guys about kind of, you know, trying to be ahead of the trends and experimenting and doing stuff that isn't being done before.
I think it's more like once you start acknowledging that there is trends, then you're already falling down that path.
If you're brewing to a trend, you're already behind it.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If you're brewing the beer you want to make, then you're not necessarily just behind a curve. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're brewing a red IPA now to fit in with the red IPA trend, you're a bit behind.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of...
Yeah.
You know.
But then you have some balls to go. Like, I know everyone's done the red IPAs and that's done, but I
But
really,
I've got a fucking good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that takes a bit
do
of
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Do that, that's fine. But, like, yeah.
I think my rationale behind homebrewing has always been, I want to brew a beer that I want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it the same.
And that I can't already drink.
Yeah.
So, and I've heard a lot of brewers say that. Like,
yeah, it's like,
yeah.
But
it's the same thing when I'm cooking, when I have the day off, I like to cook some mad food. And it's like, I think, what the fuck do I want to eat? I'm going to cook it. It's the same thing with beers.
Yeah.
Like,
if you think, oh, what the fuck do I want to eat? Some Thai, then you're not going to cook it here. You're going to go to the Thai takeaway place.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
But, you know, Thai and Mexican fusion.
Yeah,
exactly. Actually, that probably exists, so.
Probably somewhere.
Yeah.
Rice, pepper, roll tacos.
Yeah, I'm thinking like...
Burrito.
Pad Thai burritos.
Pad Thai burritos.
Pad Thai burrito.
Pad burrito.
I would smash that.
Pad burrito. I think this is our next business. Are you
gonna let's cut this out because...
this is good shit.
I'm going to make money out of this.
So this is what our brewery's going to be about. Like, don't give a fuck about the beer, but we're going to have some sick-ass food.
Oh, I think that's actually something I'd talk about as well. If I was to start a brewery, I would try to go as much with a brew pub kind of thing as possible. Like, something like what Rocks have in Alexandria. I think that, to me, is the best kind of experience of going to a brewery.
I mean, in a perfect world, when you've got the money to be able to
yeah.
do that, nothing against those guys, but, you know, they've got a bit of cash behind them.
Yeah, but that's, you know...
But the thing is, how long has it taken them to get up to
exactly,
this point?
Exactly, years, absolutely. And they...
I mean, it's a fucking smick venue.
I love the place, yeah. I do. I think that, and it's...
And
but even, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, 46.
Where?
I just,
we're not going
just
now.
Looked at my watch. Like,
where? What?
Rocks have a happy hour as well.
Ah,
so
yeah.
I was just like, oh, it's look, it's right now, guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, even like Young Henry's, like, it's not so much a bar, but they can create a great atmosphere. And, you know, you do the whole food truck thing and everything.
Yeah, sure.
And,
you know.
And what, yesterday they had like a roller derby thing?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
What about the Bill Marathon when they had the... That was awesome.
Yeah. So I think, being like, not necessarily just a brewery, but being a bit of
being engaged with the culture.
Yeah, a cultural hub, because
like,
Young Henry has become a cultural hub in Newtown. Yeah. Like, they're not just about the beer, which I really like. Mm. Yeah, cool. That was that was good. It's good,
that was our
good
best
chat.
One yet.
Yeah.
I know we haven't discussed this yet, but do we have another question?
Oh,
shit.
Well, we'll take
Let's take a break.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with a question.
And another beer.
And another beer, yeah.
Which we didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We should talk about
We'll talk about the beer when we come back from the break. So we've got a question to shoot back at Luke and Dave. We thought we'd take it in a completely different track. So, Liam, what are we going to ask?
So, I mean... Okay, this actually started from the guys talking about... Was it the talk about Taco?
Yeah.
And how... at Gab's, like me as well, they didn't quite
get it. Yeah.
And I'm going to admit it now, I've had it multiple times, I still don't quite get it.
Okay.
But, you know, but that's me. And so my question is, what's a beer that everyone loves and raves about and has all the hype that you just don't hate, but
just don't
get
don't
it. Like?
Yeah.
I mean, another one for me is probably Millennium Falcon by Holgate. Mm.
That's one for me as well.
Yeah, I don't hate the beer.
I think it's great.
It doesn't blow me away.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, that's my question for the guys.
Yeah, all right. That's a cool kind of start taking it into
coming
a
up for this
direction.
Time of year where there's a lot of beer being consumed in the next couple of months. I think
in the next
and there's a lot of hype coming up. So I thought that would
be an interesting question. Cool. And we might just before we wrap up. Talk about what we're drinking at the moment. Yeah,
we opened a beer.
So we've just cracked a James Squires Hop Thief 6. So this is
brewed with Simcoe and Columbus.
Yeah,
this was a present from the brewery.
Oh
yeah.
Well, thanks to them. So really really cool guys at Malt Shovel, and I've spoken about it before, but I think
there is a revival going on at the Malt Shovel Brewery.
I think increasingly they're doing. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, I quite like this.
Look, it's very entry level, and
But it's an entry level beer that you still, if you gave someone who didn't know much about beer, it would make them think about beer. Mm. I think.
Look, I'm personally not a huge fan, but if I was still, you know, in my Squire drinking days, I would really like this, because I had a Squire on the plane back from Asia, and I was thinking, you know, I don't really love this, but I can remember
loving this.
Why I like this.
But this Hot Thief range, now it's getting a bit of legs, especially now it's going into bottles, is going to educate so many more people about different styles of hops than any other Michelin single hop range or any burrito IPA instead.
It's like, you know, it is so entry level. Mm. And for an entry level beer to actually say on it, like in big writing, like Simcoe and Columbus.
My one criticism is I'd like a bit more hops so you could showcase that a bit more. But like, that's the one thing I don't...
And maybe if they did a few different hops at one time, like... So well, a few different releases, like do a six-pack of different hops.
I think with everything with the Squires, they're getting their foot back into the beer community. Yeah. And, like, I work very close. Like, the brewery's literally three doors down from my bottle shop. And I can tell you that the guys there now, like, really are fucking beer nerds. And they're starting to get back into it. And they buy a lot of beer. And they're really into it. And I think... I've had a few things that haven't been necessarily released and stuff like that coming out of the brewery that they're trying. I think they're on their way to do some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Sweet. All right.
How about let's do some quick round of recommendations.
Yeah. Should we go beer recommendations?
Asian related
recommendations.
I recommend the movie Raid 2.
Damn it!
Ah,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Luke's recommended it before from Out of the Time, so that's a bit of a cheat. But all right, it's a bloody amazing movie.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to do another movie as well. I'm going to recommend watching the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. Yeah, that is so
it's
fucking
so good.
Yeah,
I have to watch that.
You have to watch it, man. It is a fascinating documentary that follows... Jiro, who is one of the top like sushi masters in Tokyo, and just how he runs his restaurant, and it's insane. Since watching it as
it's
well,
it's at a subway station as well.
Wow!
And you got to book like 6 months in advance.
Yeah, and there's 10 seats, and it's like $500 to go to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Since watching that, I've eaten a lot of sushi. So.
I had sushi for lunch, actually, just in preparation for this episode.
Well, following on that trend, my recommendation is also beer-related. I've been forming a pretty healthy addiction to dumplings at the moment.
Ooh, yeah.
So I think everyone needs to get a Din Tai Fung.
Oh, yeah. Din Tai Fung, yeah.
And get the soup dumplings.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Well, so as always, you can find us on Twitter at Sessionable Pod.
Yep,
that's the right one.
That's the podcast Twitter.
That's the podcast Twitter. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/sessionable. I think, isn't it?
We should start using that a bit more often.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. Oh, you've been
doing it every episode now.
Yeah, cool.
And sessionable.net is our website. You can find all of us on Twitter individually as well. I'm at A Study in Beer.
I'm at The Beer Lebowski.
I'm at Adrian Pua.
Great. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Cool.